Let's read together Matthew chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the ministry of John the Baptist and our Lord's baptism. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's begin our study of Matthew chapter 3 with some background notes. In Matthew chapter 2, we had the account of the visit of the wise men and then the escape of our Lord with Mary and Joseph to Egypt and then their return to Nazareth. Now, between chapters 2 and 3 of Matthew, we skip over about 27 to 29 years of our Lord's life and move on here in chapter 3 to the beginning of our Lord's public ministry. The only event in our Lord's life during these early years that is recorded in Scripture is when he went up to Jerusalem at 12 years of age with Joseph and Mary and astounded the Jewish teachers in the temple area with his questions and answers. You can read about that in Luke chapter 2. Now, although the Scripture does not tell us much about the early years of our Lord's life, notice what we read here in verses 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 3. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here our Lord is anointed by the Holy Spirit for his public ministry, and the voice of the Father is heard. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Remember, this statement made by God is made before the Lord's public ministry begins. This is before any of the miracles or the discourses or public events. As the Father looked over those years, when our Lord was a child, and then a preteen, and then a teenager, and then a young man in his 20s, he saw nothing but perfection. Here was the perfect man. Here was the Son of God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice, by the way, how the three persons of the Trinity are clearly brought out in these verses, verses 16 and 17. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see from this chapter that John the Baptist came on the scene as an Elijah-type figure. He wore a garment of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He lived in the Judean wilderness and ate locusts and wild honey. Now, don't get the idea that John the Baptist lived as a hermit in some cave out there in the wilderness. No, there were a number of wilderness communities where Orthodox Jews lived. They were known as the Essenes, the Qumran community, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were copied and hidden, was probably such a community. And John the Baptist would probably have been associated with one of these communities. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the coming Messiah as predicted in the Old Testament prophecies. In verse 3 here, we see that Isaiah prophesied that John would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, the essential message of John the Baptist was verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of God, which was predicted in the Old Testament, was at hand. This was the kingdom that the Messiah, who was in the line of David, would set up here on this earth. The king was about to arrive, so the kingdom was at hand. However, we know that when the king arrived, when the Lord Jesus arrived, he was rejected by the nation of Israel, and so the earthly kingdom of our Lord has been postponed until his second coming. In the meantime, as we see unfolded in the Gospel of Matthew, while the king is in heaven, the kingdom of heaven here on this earth includes the true and the false, the wheat and the tares, the genuine believers and the false professors. This is clearly seen in the parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. But at this point, when John the Baptist announced that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, an offer of the messianic kingdom was being made to Israel, would they receive it or would they reject it? In order to prepare for the Messiah and his kingdom, the people needed to repent and be baptized unto repentance. And that brings us now to our doctrinal teaching points for Matthew chapter 3. Doctrinal point number 1, the baptism of John was a baptism unto repentance. The baptism of John was a baptism unto repentance. The baptism of John the Baptist was not and is not the same as Christian baptism. Don't mix it up. Christian baptism is not instituted until the end of Matthew, after our Lord's death and resurrection. John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance for the Jewish people who were willing to repent of their sins and renounce their association with unbelieving Judaism and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Baptism arose during the intertestamental period. You don't read a baptism in the Old Testament, right? It was for Gentile converts to Judaism. So John's baptism then was quite radical in that the Jews themselves were being called on to be baptized and renounce their pride and hypocrisy and unbelief and other sins and prepare for the Messiah. In verse 7, we see that John denounced the self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees who were trying to jump on John's popularity bandwagon. He called these hypocrites a brood of vipers, verse 7. They were thinking that being a descendant of Abraham was enough to get them into the kingdom, and they thought that they were God's elite. "I'm so sorry," says John the Baptist. "God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Verse 9. "You and the nation are ready for God's judgment, because there is no good fruit in your lives. The axe is already at the root of the trees." Verse 10. Now at this point, the logical question to ask would be, well, if John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance, then why did the Lord Jesus submit to John's baptism? I mean, the Lord Jesus did not need to undergo John's baptism of repentance, as John rightly points out in verse 14. Our Lord was without sin. But the Lord says in verse 15 that it was the right thing to do at this time. Why? Because in undergoing John's baptism, our Lord was setting the example and identifying with those who were separating themselves from unbelieving Judaism and preparing for the kingdom of God. The baptism of John was a baptism unto repentance. Doctrinal point number two, the baptism of Jesus would be with the Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism of Jesus would be with the Holy Spirit and fire. In verse 11, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, what did John mean when he said that the coming Messiah would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire? Is the fire here a reference to the tongues of fire that accompanied the coming of the Holy Spirit at the time of Pentecost? Or is the fire of judgment? Not everybody's agreed. In view of verse 12, it would seem that it is the fire of judgment. Verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The baptism with fire is yet in the future, when the Lord returns. Because the king was rejected and his kingdom on earth postponed until his second coming, the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire is in two stages separated by time. The baptism with the Holy Spirit was at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church with power and blessing. The baptism with fire will be when the Lord returns in judgment. The baptism of Jesus would be with the Holy Spirit and fire. What about practical application from Matthew chapter 3? You too can have a ministry in a wilderness. You too can have a ministry in a wilderness. Verses 4 through 6, once again. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Who would have ever thought that thousands of people would go out into the Judean wilderness to listen to and to be baptized by a man like John the Baptist? John the Baptist was an austere and ascetic type individual. You would not be automatically attracted to John the Baptist. And yet people walked for miles through the harsh wilderness to come to John. Why? Because John was faithful and doing what the Lord called him to do, and God blessed his ministry. You too can have a ministry in a wilderness. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel that you're a social misfit. People are not automatically attracted to you. Maybe you feel you're in a wilderness of some kind, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, on your campus. You feel that it's just not the right place to start a ministry. No one would be interested. Listen, do you really want to serve the Lord? If so, God can do things you never even dreamed of. You too can have a ministry in a wilderness.